I hope one thing that we realize while I'm, you know, when you tune in for these streams and you're watching, is that there is something for, like, there is something fundamentally broken with the mainstream press. This isn't an exaggeration. This isn't hyperbole. We all know that there's something wrong with the press right now and the way that they're operating and the things they choose to focus on. So it's a silly target. It's a, you know, because it's so self-evident. But what I've noticed is, and by the way, before I get into that, let me give you guys a general bit of advice, right? I'll go big for this, so you can see my little wispy curly hairs and the fact that, yes, it does look like my mustache might be going up my nose, but look, it's not really. I'm just growing it out frontier style, don't worry. But here's just a bit of general advice for all of you. You know, because I think some people really don't understand this. So this is why they get confused about things politically. This is why they get confused about things societally. Twitter is probably, I would say, the most dangerous and negative social media platform. So I'll use that as the example. Plus, it's one where it's one that actually creates the illusion of it being the whole world. When you go on Twitter, what does it do? It says, here's events and trending worldwide. And it's trying to fool you into thinking that if you're not on Twitter, and this is why, seriously, all the bad things that have come from Twitter, they should absolutely be looked into. And as I said, when we get to the mental health bomb in a few years, when that really goes off, not like now, but when it gets really bad, especially when they change Twitter to be unrecognizable from what it is now, and people are jonesing for their fix of fake importance, that's when the bomb goes off, by the way, the mental health bomb. Right. What it does is it tries to create the illusion that it is everything. That if you're not talking about what's trending on Twitter, you are out of the loop. If you don't hold the opinions of the blue check marks that are given preferential treatment on the platform when it comes to driving discussion, you are out of touch. You are uneducated. But as has been proven when they've studied it, 10% of the Twitter users, many of whom are blue check marks and are verified and are, like, you know, part of the liberal intelligentsia, they drive 90% of the tweets. This is a fact. So Twitter, by definition, is divorced from reality in a way I don't think people understand. And I have seen a lot of people, by the way, they get upset. They get anxious when you talk about stuff like this. They feel like they're missing out. They feel like they're not up to date with things. They feel like they have to insert themselves to belong. You don't. In fact, I have to use Twitter cynically, manipulatively. I use it to earn money. I use it to further my own presence and my own status and increase my audience. But I don't like being there. but I am there for that. These other people are on a crusade, and they believe, you see, conversely, they believe it's the real world too, and they believe of their own importance within this new landscape, but none of it's real. They're not important. Not like they think they are. And what you're engaging with isn't reality. Not like you think it is. So the best thing you can do, by the way, guys, and this is just a great bit of advice, if you don't have a Twitter account now, don't ever get one. Seriously, you don't need it. You are better off just reading multiple websites and going to content aggregators. Reddit as a content aggregator, even with the moderator problem, is a much more genuine reflection of the world than Twitter is. So if you don't have a Twitter account, don't get one. Yep, use an RSS feed, exactly. Try and pick and choose a healthy mental diet of all the stories that are going on out there. If you do have a Twitter account, use it for things that will help you engage with your fellow man. Don't even bother with that hashtag trending nonsense. When you message a celebrity, you're not really talking to them. When you engage in a hashtag, you're not part of a movement. You're not part of a protest. You're just driving traffic to a social media website designed to manipulate people on an emotional and psychological basis. It is not real. So just before I now go on a diatribe talking about Twitter as if it's real and it's important, I did just want to frame that. Like, I understand it. You guys should understand it too. But this is content, so let's all have a laugh about it. But in the grand scheme of things, Twitter should just serve you in the same way, you know, a Facebook account does, an Instagram account does. It shouldn't be this thing that you engage with and it becomes your whole world. Because while I've very often spoken out based on scientific evidence, and I believe scientific consensus, that there is no evidence to suggest, for example, gaming addiction isn't real, because the mechanics of gambling and the way it interfaces with you is different to just video games. The one thing I would be willing to concede, like, if someone came to me and said, I've got a theory that Twitter is addictive and it's driving people crazy, I'd probably sign off on that. In fact, I think social media addiction is an area they should put infinitely more resources into than video game addiction. I think we've done it to death for the past 10, 15 years, and it's just negligible. There's just not really anything there. Not yet, anyway. But with social media addiction, we have a tendency to ignore that, and I think that's a much more... I think that's much more a... you know, kind of important area to focus on. So anyway, social media is both more addictive and more harmful than cannabis. Agree or disagree? I don't know, dude. I'm not a scientist, so there's no way to win this thing, is there? Because if I say, yeah, oh yeah, totally more addictive than cannabis, somebody pulls out a Peter Hitchens article and goes, no, look, actually, it's been linked to schizophrenia, and it was right all along, and the British government's got the right stats on it. And if I go, well, of course it isn't. Richard Lewis is an anti-cannabis advocate. Oh, look, so you can't win on that one. I don't know what the science is. Put it this way, if you asked me, would I rather my 14-year-old kid smoked a fucking spliff or had a Twitter account and was on Twitter every day? Spliff every time for me, by the way. So I don't know if that makes me a bad parent or a psychopath, but that's my personal prescriptive take. The good news is, don't worry, guys. You don't need to report me to anyone. I'm not going to have kids. I'm an incel. It's okay. So anyway. Let's shelve all of that, and let's get into the media having a fucking meltdown again. Donald Trump, right? You might have heard of him. Donald Trump is a pretty awful parenting right there. You think, okay, well, you know. Like I said, the good news is, don't worry. It's an imaginary teenage child. So if you're offended by that opinion, you can call the imaginary child services. You can file your imaginary report. They can conduct an imaginary investigation, which I will cooperate with on an imaginary level. And then they can take my imaginary child away into care and put him. I don't know why my imaginary child is instantly a son. I've got some issues, obviously. Put him, my imaginary son, into a foster home, and hopefully I will get imaginary visitation rights. But, you know, who knows? So you do that, guys. You totally do that. Oh, holy shit, it's Jerky's Minion with a $100 donation. That's fucking crazy. Richie doesn't breed, chat. He's smarter than to breed. I didn't even see the whole message. But I am smart. I'm too smart for that. I'm like the fucking dude in, what's it called? First Reformed with Ethan Hawke. You know, how can we bring a child into this world? He was obsessed with the environment. I'm obsessed with social media. So that's where I'm at. But thanks a lot for $100, brother. I appreciate it. A great patron and supporter of everything I do. So much love to you. Anyway, so Donald Trump. You might have heard of him. Popular guy. Powerful guy. And a dude who somehow is just incapable... he's incapable of being normal, okay? And when he has his outbreaks of abnormality, the press are incapable of inaccurately framing them as just being mild eccentricities and completely non-harmful. So one of the things the media has started doing, because it is absolutely essential that as the orange man, the orange Hitler guy, everything he does must be framed as malevolent or malicious. There cannot be any simple throwaway explanations. He can't be eccentric. He can't be stupid. He must be malicious. He must be malevolent. It's the only explanation. He is evil incarnate. We cannot take a nuanced view of him. If you do that, you're a Nazi. That's where we're at, okay? That's the landscape. So, with that in mind, the press, they do this thing where they've almost invented a new lexicon that we have to use when we talk about Trump. We've invented these new words that, like, weren't popular in the media 5 years ago, weren't popular when Obama was in power, but certainly are popular now. And key among them is the word doctored. And I've covered this phenomenon on other shows and other videos, and just to give you an idea of where we've been at, right? The Trump administration are absolutely convinced that one of the key battlegrounds to winning, to having won 2016 and potentially winning 2020, is this idea of connecting with some sort of tech-savvy but jaded group of people from, like, 21 to 35, and therefore there is this mimetic recurring mimetic information that goes out there, whether it's Praise Keck and Pepe the Frog, and you'll notice, of course, each one of these memes that sort of trends with the Trump supporter mysteriously is labeled as a hate symbol very shortly afterwards by the usual powers that be, right? So one of the things that happens now is Donald Trump has sort of graduated to having people that create memes almost within his inner circle. You know, Carpe Donctum is a good example of this. This is somebody whose videos blow up, are very popular, they're very short, they communicate a lot of ideas about, haha, we're owning the libs, or look how stupid liberals are, look how dishonest the media is. And, it's not without reason that we've seen CNN go after people that create memes. It's not without reason that we have seen the mainstream media dox Carpe Donctum and put his real name out there under the sort of argument that, yes, he is now a public figure because he makes memes that the president retweets. So in other words, the media's stance now is that the... that's easily fixed. The one button. Hope that was worth it, brother. The media stance now is if you ever have a tweet that is retweeted by the president, you are fair game to be publicly exposed. And this has happened multiple times. The forklift truck driver that put out the video of Nancy Pelosi, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, as a result of this, whenever Trump now tweets out a meme, you will notice they use this one word to describe the meme. Doctored. Joe Biden kissing himself. Doctored. And it's such a strange word to use, because if you understand English, the word doctored means you have altered something, right? Okay, agreed. But then there's another component to it, and that is you have altered something with the intent to deceive someone. For example, you doctor documents. You doctor a birth certificate, a passport, because you have to show it to somebody to get through a security check or whatever. Something, so when people say, oh, it's doctor doesn't have any sinister implication, that is a lie. You would not say, for example, if somebody changed, I don't know, let's say there was a drawing of you and somebody came along and drew a mustache on it for a joke. You wouldn't say, you've doctored that image of me. You wouldn't say that, would you? And you wouldn't say that because it's not malevolent and mean and there is no intent to deceive. You've just drawn a mustache on my face. That's all there is to it, or funny glasses, or, turns out I actually look like the picture you would draw on your mate to make them look ugly when you're at school. I now look like that in real life. There's very little you could do, really, just saying. But that time makes fools of us all, doesn't it? But anyway, so doctored, the Biden meme, doctored. It's clear. Where's the intent to deceive? We all know Biden cannot be kissing himself. We know that. So why does the media insist on using the word doctored? Well, I thought it had gone away, but then I saw perhaps the most absurd use of it to date. Maybe this is more absurd than the Biden one. I don't know. Now, Donald Trump tweeted a tweet of himself. In fact, actually, I'll show you the tweet first before we get into this. Because without looking at that, you might think I'm being disingenuous. So I'm going to show you Donald Trump's Twitter again. If you're of a squeamish disposition and you can't handle Donald Trump and you think he's evil, this might trigger you. But okay, so this was the tweet. Okay, now I'm gonna repeat what I always say whenever we break down Donald Trump's Twitter on the stream. He's a bit of a weirdo, isn't he? Thanks for the $5, dreamer of memes. So anyway, so Donald Trump tweets this out. Now, maybe you don't watch movies. This is from Rocky Balboa. And there's a slight difference that you might have noticed. That isn't Sylvester Stallone's head. You see, Rocky Balboa is a fictional character, which is hilarious because, as Bill Burr aptly pointed out, in Philly they have a statue to him, and he's like, that's the fucking greatest thing you could do. You have a statue to somebody who doesn't even exist. Fuck Philly. But anyway, he's not real, you see. He's not real. And Donald Trump's put his head on his body, and because it's such a big cultural reference, we all know, oh, that's Rocky Balboa's body. We know it instinctively because it's the iconic pose from the Rocky movie, and we all know Donald Trump because he's the president of the USA. So I don't know why he tweeted that out. I think it's weird. I long for a happier time where we didn't have a president that just tweeted out weird shit all the time. You know, again, I've always said it. I miss the Obama administration, not because Obama was a great, nice human being that did nice things for people all over the world, but just because his evil was cloaked in a statesman-like dignity. So I'm all right with that, you know? It's like an evil's hyperbole. I don't think Obama was evil, obviously. But, you know, it was just... he just knew what to say and how to behave. He didn't strike me as insane. So anyway, this was the tweet. Now, to me, this is just Donald Trump having an epi, isn't it? That's all that is. You don't know why he's tweeted it out. It's probably a reference to the impeachment trial. You know, that people, because Rocky was the underdog. Not a great example to use, actually, because Rocky loses in the first one, so maybe it isn't that, I don't know. But anyway, just don't think too much about it, because it's Donald Trump just tweeting out a meme. The press, of course, they can't do this. They must absolutely take the bait, they must absolutely pass commentary on it, and it was a matter of time. And all of the media pundits that you have out there, they sat down, and literally I saw the tweets going out, can't wait to see which media outlet will fact check this photograph. And you go, yeah, they're not doing it for this one. They won't do it for this one. Well, not true. The Washington Post remain a comedy. When I think about what this newspaper used to be like and what it used to stand for, this is ridiculous. Trump tweets doctored photo of his head on Sylvester Stallone's body, unclear why. So again, let's analyze the statement. Doctored photo. Doctored. It's not doctored. It's altered. And it's altered because we could, I wouldn't recommend using Photoshop, but I think over time Photoshop will enter parlance in the same way that other certain brand names like Google means to search for something on the internet. Doesn't necessarily mean using the Google search engine. It's just that it's so prevalent as a piece of tech, it's gone on to enter into modern parlance as being one thing across all brands. It is a brand name that has become a verb, you know? So anyway, to Google. But anyway, there is no way that that photo would deceive anybody that Donald Trump has got into shape and has suddenly taken up boxing and is suddenly able to pull off a pose. There's just no way. And they did this with the dog meme. They said he doctored a photo of him giving a medal to a dog. Again, first of all, he didn't do that. Daily Caller did. Or was it Daily Wire, sorry, did that. And then second of all, it was so obviously an altered picture. It's asinine to try and present it as being doctored for some sinister purpose. And again, let's read the whole sentence. Trump tweets doctored photo of his head on Sylvester Stallone's body. Unclear why. You will also notice specifically what they have done in this tweet. Let me give you a quick breakdown, because I always say I'm going to do this. I always say I'm going to take you into the mind of a journalist and why this is worded specifically as it is. We'll ignore doctored. Doctored photo of his head on Sylvester Stallone's body. You'll notice they didn't say Rocky Balboa. You know why they don't say Rocky Balboa, even though that would be the more accurate phrasing. They don't say Rocky Balboa because Rocky Balboa is a fictional figure, and it would make the reader that hadn't even seen the tweet go, oh, well, he's obviously just memeing and joking around, isn't he? What you do is you say Sylvester Stallone, because Sylvester Stallone is a real person with a real body. So now you start saying, well, what's the relevance of Sylvester Stallone? What possible crossover could there be? It draws you into the story. It makes it sound weirder. So they do that deliberately, purposefully, right? That's why they do that. And then, comma, unclear why. Well, let me assess. As I've said, I would imagine it's something to do with impeachment and that he's coming out fighting, or that something along those lines I could probably infer. But what they do is, you see, They could just leave it there. Trump tweets doctored photo of his head on Rocky Balboa's body. Now you're like, okay, well, why is this news? You would probably be a little bit derisory. You might not click on it. You might not want to read on it. You might just be like, fucking hell, what's going on with the WAPO? Unclear why, as I said, when you combine that with the word doctored, it is to suggest a sinister purpose behind it. Doctored means with an attempt to deceive. Unclear why means we don't know why he's trying to deceive people. That is the level it is operating on linguistically in your brain, whether you realize it or not. That's what's happening. So this obviously went down like a fucking fart in an elevator. You can see the replies here, all the usual people. You've got all the Trump reply guys. Because he's a lunatic. He's a lunatic. How dare anybody post an amusing picture on the internet? You've got that. I did see some fucking insane takes, by the way. Because, like, just on fucking cue, all the Trump reply guys, all the fucking pro-Trump reply guys, they just go into the shit show war that they always engage in when this happens. But generally, the right response, the correct response, is to ridicule the media for, first of all, grotesquely misrepresenting what actually happened, and two, why would you even divert attention and energy to this? How does this serve the American people to report on this story and imply they should be worried about it in any way? It is a waste of everyone's time. It is a waste of everyone's effort. It does nothing except serve their agenda of hatred towards the Trump administration, Trump and Republicans for clicks. Thank you very much for the $10 donation, brother. Let me just show you the most insane take I saw. I won't go into all of them because that drags out the videos. And generally, you shouldn't really, you know, as I said, I try not to fall into the trick of picking three random accounts off Twitter and then using the journalistic mindset of, if you can point to three examples, it's a trend. I'm not going to do that. Here's what I will show you. I will show you the most insane take, and then you can just imagine what other people were saying. Dr. Jack Brown, Thread. I do love it when people announce there's going to be a Thread, as if you're just riveted and are just glued to your seats. Oh, a Thread, you say? Wow, please give me your thoughts, Dr. Jack Brown, body language and emotional intelligence expert, a credential that you're probably about to doubt in approximately 30 seconds. Thread. Donald Trump's tweet this morning showing his head on Sylvester Stallone, Rocky's 30-year-old body, is among other things a signal that Trump's self-image is profoundly negative. Thanks for the $5 wonderish. Trump is full of self-loathing and self-hatred. Now, trust me, it gets worse. The idea that a man that we have labeled a narcissist, where all evidence actually points to him being a narcissist, when all evidence points to him, I mean, haven't we said this? Like, just as a prescribed thing, he lacks empathy. He's a narcissist. He believes he is the most successful at everything. Every speech he makes, we've got the best. We've got this. We've got that. I'm the best president. No one has ever gone through as much as me as president. They shot two of them, didn't they? I mean, seriously. But anyway. The idea that Trump is full of self-loathing and self-hatred. Okay, that's a hot take, Dr. Jack Brown. And one that people are going to like and retweet and agree with, because Trump is Schrodinger's cunt, isn't he, to the American people. It's just, what do we need him to be today? Is he a racist today? Cool, he's a racist today. What about that thing where the first monument he put up was to celebrate the black people that died in the Civil War? And what about all the stuff he's done for prison reform? Nope, he's a racist today. We need him to be a racist today. Oh, he's a narcissist today. He's a narcissist today. We need him to be a narcissist today. Oh, but do we also mention he hates himself? Well, we need that today. So let's do it. So anyway, this is where it gets bad, right? And I also just want to point out, his announcement thread was two tweets. He didn't even have the stamina for three tweets. Good thread. Glad you fucking telegraphed that one to me. I might have tapped out. Two. In Trump's own mind, the body and brain he is constantly mentally photoshopping onto his is Barack Obama's, not Sylvester Stallone's. For as racist as Trump is, he envies Obama's intelligence, popularity, ability to lead, and the true love of the people. End. So, if you've ever been in any doubt, by the way, that Trump derangement syndrome is a very real mental illness, and people, even intelligent, educated people that have enjoyed some modicum of success in their lives and should be happy and stable, I think this tweet probably would just be a good exhibit if you ever wanted to make the argument to someone, oh, Trump derangement syndrome's all played out. But have you seen Dr. Jack Brown's tweets? They'll have a very hard time denying the existence of TDS at that point, I think. But good thread. Anyway. So, what I did, because I'm what they call a wag, right? I don't mean wife and girlfriend of a famous footballer. No, I'm a wag. It's an old word. It means, oh, you're such a wag. You like to play jokes and be funny and throw out one-liners. Oh, my God, you're such a wag. So I did a tweet, right? And I'll show you the tweet. And you'll all laugh because I'm a comedic genius. This was my tweet on the situation. Don't worry, guys. The Washington Post have done the fact check, and it turns out the photo of Trump's head on fictional character Rocky Balboa's body was actually doctored. God bless the press for protecting us from such sinister deceptions. Ha ha ha. Big laughs, you see. Well, we'll get to Hutch. I've got material. Oh, we'll get to Hutch. We'll get to Hutch. The brave resistance super soldier that he is. We'll get to Hutch. But anyway, that was the tweet I put out. Now, in that tweet, just in case any of you don't get the joke, you see. The joke there is that using the word doctored is asinine, stupid, and incorrect English. And certainly should no editor would sign off on this, on that word being used, unless they had an agenda, which the Washington Post, inarguably do. The other point I'm making is it's a fictional character. So the idea that you could doctor, so you can take something fictional, take something real, mash up the two, but yeah, we're doctoring it. Something with such cultural profundity as Rocky Balboa, we're going to convince you that it's real. It wouldn't work. And then the idea, the press are putting that story out there to protect you from the government. The idea that Donald Trump's tweeted out his head on Rocky Balboa's body. That's speaking truth to power, is it? It's absurd. So my tweet reflects that absurdity by pointing out that it is in no way a sinister deception. It's irony, I believe. So anyway, I got quote tweeted. I got quote tweeted because of this tweet. And I couldn't believe it because I got quote tweeted by one of my favorite lol cows of all time. I had no idea we would ever cross paths. Right? So here it is. Parker Malloy writes for Media Matters now. Media Matters is basically the Breitbart of the Democrats. They say they're fact-checking all of the evils in right-wing media. What they mean is they're writing propaganda that appeals to their base, much like the people that they supposedly fact-check are doing, but in the opposite direction. But anyway, guys, if you're mad that news outlets keep saying doctored when it's a photo people know is obviously edited, urge the papers to update their style guides. Until then, that will probably be the default term used by a lot of media outlets, and it doesn't mean they were fooled. So again, one of the things you'll notice about demagogues like this, what they do is they completely take the argument and they say, guys, no one's been fooled. No one said you were fooled. It's obvious you've not been fooled. Our point is, how can it be a doctored picture because it would fool nobody? You see what they did, you see? What they do is, they say, you're saying the media is stupid because we were fooled. No, we're saying you're stupid because you're implying Trump was attempting to fool people. These are not the same. But you lack the education. Well, it's not even that, actually. These people aren't stupid. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing when they change the argument to be that way. I also like the myth, the lie, that this is anything to do with style guides. Absolutely not true. Absolutely not true. Nor would I know how Parker Malloy, failed journalist having to write at Media Matters, we'll get to her again, I got material, would know all of the style guidelines from multiple publications. How would she know that? Style guidelines are generally internal. If there's a big change, a big announcement, they may even do a post on the editorial section of the paper to let you know. Like, for example, when email lost the hyphen, and things like this. The point is, this isn't a style guide issue. This is a deliberate misuse of the meaning of the word to paint a politician in a more negative light than is warranted based on what they're doing, which at the end of the day, lest we forget, is tweeting a silly picture of themselves. On it goes. Why don't they say Photoshopped? I didn't see anybody ask this, because Photoshop is the name of a product brand, etc. And as I've said, people use Google now interchangeably to mean web searched, but that's fine. That is a point. A press style guide wouldn't come off on it. Why don't they just say editor, right? Edited, sorry. It's brilliant. Watch this for a counter argument. Very good question. Why don't they just say edited or altered? Sure, maybe that's better. They should just change their style guides to say that. But even then, people are going to go, lol, you had to say it was edited because you didn't get it was a joke, even though you knew. So they cannot even follow the logic of what they're saying. They can't even, they have to come back to this idea that the problem we have with it is that we know that, you're pretending to be fooled, you're fooled, no one's doing that. Doctored is the wrong fucking word. English language is important. Americans butchering it every day that they speak it has to stop. You're a fucking paper of record. Stop this. Doctored is the wrong word. It's not up for debate. It is the wrong word. It doesn't mean are altered and doctored and not interchangeable. There's a little extra component to the doctored thing. Then they go, but here's an example. The Daily Wire tweeted out an image edited to make it look like he was giving a dog a medal. Trump tweeted it out, and pretty much everyone knew it was a joke. And then they show the Daily Wire story, which, again, we don't believe the Daily Wire has a weird bias, do we? And then a New York Times wrote a story about it, calling it a faked photo. But even right there in the subheadline, they note that, yes, they understand it was a joke. And again, obviously it's a joke. Nobody's arguing about that. But that is the point that you have hammered. And naturally, Daily Wire spends the next few days trying to pretend that New York Times thought it was real. No, they didn't. One journalist did, because he asked the White House for a statement of when the K-9 medal ceremony happened. So that journalist did believe it was real. Anyway, even though, again, it was obvious, and two, acknowledged as a joke in the subhead. That's fine. And here it is, my moment, guys. Naturally, dumbasses everywhere are working themselves up into a lava. One throwaway tweet, one joke, working myself up into a lava over this too. The performative outrage from these dopes is exhausting. TLDR, every stupid tweet Trump posts isn't worthy of an article, and journalists just following their style guides isn't proof. They don't get that it's meant as a joke. Again, I don't know if you have some sort of developmental problem. No one, and I mean no one, on the internet has argued that the media think it is real, Parker. What they've argued is it certainly isn't doctored. There is no sinister purpose. There is no sinister purpose at all. So if I'm a dope, you might very well want to look into what the word doctored means. You might also want to understand what the argument is when people complain about the use of the word doctored, and therefore try and at least make a counter argument that is based in reality. Also, I count all of these tweets. You talked about it all day long. You even replied to other people that were tweeting at you about it. Is this not performative outrage? Looks like it to me. And how am I worked up in a lather about it at all? Very strange thing to say. But it's great. It's great because I never thought I would get the opportunity to ever talk about Parker Malloy. Parker Malloy is a, if you were like me in like 2014 onwards, you were sort of following what all these like crazy deranged journalists were doing. It is unbelievable. She has been involved in so many ridiculous dramas, shit takes, you name it. Like, Parker Malloy is a laughingstock. I don't even know where to start. Let me just give you some of her beliefs so you get an idea of how, like, divorced from reality this person is. And then you'll probably understand, oh, well, no wonder she's trying to make it look like people were saying, the media got tricked and that's why they're saying it's doctored. Literally didn't see a single person say that. But let's have a look. So this was the time Parker Malloy said that actually Twitter is in the pocket of the right wing. You probably didn't know that secretly it's right wing grifters that control Twitter. It's not, there is no bias towards journalists and blue checks or anything like that. It's Jack is actually being funded by right wing grifters. You see it there in black and white. So she that was one opinion. She said she got mega upset that conservatives weren't deplatformed on all social media. You can see here, this was when the White House had that social media gathering where lots of kind of conservatives and right-wing people that said they'd been censored on big tech platforms went to the White House and they were invited. Check it out. instead of saying like, oh, this is just a crazy conspiracy theory and it's a little bit embarrassing, she just went with the whole, well, I hope you can see what they're doing and we should deplatform everyone. Honestly, social media tech companies really need to come out with statements saying that they see exactly what conservatives are trying to do here and they're not going to fall for it. They won't, though. Instead, as always, they'll end up creating special rules to give bigots special treatment so as not to hurt their feelings. But even after they do that, the same awful people making the same awful arguments will continue to whine about non-existent bias. So, again, far be it from me, somebody that's been covering this, you know, regularly for, well, ever since this became a thing, ever since people started to lose their minds, around about in 2015, far be it from me to suggest that there is actually some sort of bias there to answer to. In fact, most of the evidence points to it. It's definitely over-exaggerated for fiscal benefits, I would say, from some of the people who I would agree are grifters. But equally, to pretend that there is, you know, when people are saying they want to put the Covington kid in a wood chipper and they're not getting banned, and people get banned, like, for example, Carpe Donctum gets banned mysteriously for insulting Brian Stelter or something like that, you cannot say these things are the same. You can argue there's an inconsistency and we don't know why it's happening, but you cannot pretend the inconsistency doesn't exist like Parker Malloy does here. So that's fine. So that's a terrible take as well. She also made this like weird argument. I don't even know why this came up, but Parker Malloy's been a trans activist in the past, not a great one, as I'll show you, but that's a thing here. This is where she went after a comedian, a stand-up comedian that had made a throwaway joke about somebody identifying as trans species. And she said, you're constantly being like, lol, trans species, and this is a clear dig at trans people. And he said, Jesus, you're really grasping here. Sorry I'm not as transphobic as you thought I was. Have a nice day. To which she replied with, had to do the quote, tweet, a reply, to put on a show for my followers to swarm you thing, eh? Delete this. So remember, again, because I do like to point out hypocrisy, this is only last year. Remember, dunking on somebody on her Twitter feed, like she did with me, where she screenshotted my tweet and sent it out to her 200,000 followers, that's okay. Calling me a dumbass, that's okay. Saying I'm doing performative outrage, that's okay. Somebody saying, I'm sorry I'm not as transphobic as you thought I was, have a nice day, that is too far. That is, we're going too far. And then, yeah, an unironic delete this, which I do like. And then he replied with, I'm sorry you accuse me of making fun of trans people on a weekly basis. The best you could come up with is half a dozen jokes that weren't even transphobic to your average person, liberal even. That's a major accusation and you don't get to ask for favors now. Go away. Parker Malloy replies, you absolutely do make fun of trans people all the time. But please delete your post trying to get your right-wing followers to swarm me. I'm not trying to get them to do anything. I'm not going to have someone accuse me of being transphobic, a serious accusation, and back it up with six jokes that are just jokes. You labeling me that is more harmful than any quote tweet. Go away. And no, I literally don't make fun of trans people all the time. Saying trans species isn't mocking any serious trans person. It's mocking actual people who say they're trans people. And no, I don't respect those identities. He corrects himself here. Rather, who say they are trans species, not trans people. And Parker Malloy says, trans speciesism is not a thing. The only time people bring up trans speciesism is to be like, see how dumb trans people are. Same thing with Rachel Dolezal. Now please delete your original tweet trying to get your people to pile on me. So again, classic verified journalist, martyr complex, divorced from reality, refuses to adhere to the same standards they expect of others. And of course, incapable of telling the truth for more than a second. They can't help themselves. So just to give you an idea, by the way, about trans speciesism and how it is indeed a thing, by the way, and it's interesting because if trans speciesism ever was to take off in the next 50 years, these tweets would be considered bigoted. This is how popular a thing it's becoming. This is an article in the Evening Standard, which is London's free newspaper that covers all events in London, news, the theatre, arts, etc. Everything a Londoner needs to know. This was in 2016. Being Human is So Last Year, The Next Frontier is Transspeciesism, according to these new books. And it's not just one book, and it's not just one article. It is a bunch of books that have been released, which includes, you might have even seen this one, Being a Beast by Charles Foster. And then there was this. This is another popular one by Thomas Thwaites, Goat Man, How I Took a Holiday from Being Human. If you look there at the bottom, that is literally him as a goat. He spent, I can't remember how long it was, a year I think it was, living as a goat, living in a field, because he wanted to get away from being human. So transspeciesism, definitely a thing as of 2016. And then when you start looking at, okay, let's look at some progressive outlets that maybe Parker Malloy knows, because she's written for these outlets. Parker Malloy, I believe, has been published in Vice. Here's Vice. What does it mean to be trans species? This dude does look suspiciously like a furry. Let's just try and get past that, right? And you can see here, this is talking about otherkin and trans speciesism and what it means to be trans species. So again, this was in 2016. I have no idea how you can say it's not a thing. It's definitely a thing. Some people do identify as being trans species. And then just to throw in a little silly one right at the end, because why not, right? And we can all have a giggle and not question whether anything. This is a trans species woman. This is in the Metro, an absolute, basically, if diarrhea was a publication that you got your news from, it would be Metro. Trans species woman who identifies as a reptile has spent more than £42,000 turning herself into a dragon. And there she is. She's known as the Dragon Lady, looking mighty fine. She's took her nose off. And her name is Eva Tiamat Medusa, which is like the worst dungeon master ever in your game of Dungeons and Dragons, was really struggling for a villain's name, wasn't it? But anyway, they're definitely a thing. Definitely a thing. It's not something that this guy made up. It's just he's poking fun at it, because now societal norms say we can still poke fun at people who are trans species, because it is considered so wacky, so niche, that it's fair game. Personally think it's probably punching down. Whatever, let people do whatever the fuck they want. I don't give a fuck. Anyway, another Parker Malloy hot take, because she's just full of them. There was that time she just tweeted out that Donald Trump wanted a terrorist attack in New York City. This is, and she framed it as a reminder. Donald Trump, this is psychic Parker Malloy from the Psychic Hotline. Donald Trump is actively rooting for the explosion in NYC to turn out to be a terrorist attack. Let that sick reality sink in. Think about all the times he's taken to his Twitter account to celebrate terrorist attacks. He's a vile, sick, opportunistic monster. So, okay, that's pretty cool. That's a responsible thing to say. But you guys might have come across her and not known that you've come across her before, because she actually, during her time when she was a trans advocate, which, as I said, it ended pretty horrifically for reasons you're about to see, she published an article, and the Columbia Journalism Review is generally a very good publication that generally calls out bad reporting. I'm kind of at a loss as to basically understand what was going on here. This was an article by Parker Malloy. This was earlier in the year, talking about Caster Semenya, who, by the way, isn't trans, isn't a transgendered athlete, but is a woman who had an exceptionally high testosterone level that came above the limits that the IAAF, when they brought in a change of policy, her testosterone limits were considered above the prescribed amount they would allow females to have without testing positive for a controlled substance. But there has been I do pity Caster Semenya quite a lot, because for as long as she's had a sporting career, there has been implications that she is secretly a man. And I remember, I think after she got her very first gold medal, there was lots of talk in the papers going, well, she must be immediately gender checked, that we must strip her naked. And, you know, it's like, what the fuck is this? Like, Jesus. But anyway, but this article, and I have no idea why it is written in the Columbia Journalism Review, which is meant to be a place that is, you know, only the best reporting. It either calls out bad reporting or it publishes things that are, like, you know, entirely factually accurate, to be the benchmark of reporting in a particular topic, right? So I won't bore you with all of it, but when it comes down here, it's talking about how the so-called dominant trans athletes are cherry-picked to use moral panic narratives by far-right outlets. For months, conservative media outlets highlighted the story of CC Telfer, an NCAA Division II track and field athlete, biological male as top-ranked woman's track star, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes on. At the national championships, Telfer finished sixth in the 60-meter hurdles and failed to qualify for the final in her other event after coming in 12th place during the preliminaries. None of the above sites reported on the event when it didn't play into the narrative about having an unfair advantage. And you see, what happens here is, and I don't want to be drawn into the whole discussion about what happens in regards to trans athletes, because there are no answers, by the way, guys. That's banging your head against the brick wall. On the one hand, if you believe protect female spaces, then by definition, you're discriminating against trans athletes. On the other hand, if you say, well, let trans athletes come in, then unfortunately, there are going to be some situations where women are not going to benefit from that happening. And there are some scientific arguments to be made about why maybe not. And then if you go into the, if you go for the centrist take on it and you go, oh, we should have a trans only athletics division, well, that's by definition discriminatory in almost every way possible, and is quite possibly the worst take to have on it. So you absolutely cannot win. Sometimes problems do not have solutions, and you have to go with a solution that doesn't satisfy all parties, but is the path of least harm. What that is, I'd rather not say, because I think it's a very emotive topic, and rightly so, because we're talking about people's human dignity. Those are the stakes on this particular topic. Regardless, to pretend in this article that just because one individual, you'll notice, ironically, she talks about cherry picking for moral panic. She then cherry picks one example of an athlete not doing as well as expected, a trans athlete not doing as well as expected, and goes, see, no unfair advantage can exist because they didn't win, which I'm sure we can all see is a ridiculous argument to make. It doesn't stand up to any logic or any scrutiny whatsoever. And then it completely ignores any science in this article, by the way, and says, finally, journalists need to exercise caution when considering who to quote. Good Morning America's profile of trans runners Terry Miller and Andrea Yearwood featured an upset parent as an authority, even though it was clear that she didn't have all the facts on the girl's transition and participation. Journalists should take into account how their words could be used to reinforce ignorance. If the only time readers learn about trans or intersex athletes is in the context of their supposed dominance, it makes sense they may come away under the impression that their inclusion is inherently unfair. Reporters should ask themselves why they're quoting someone's opinion about a fact and whether that helps or hinders overall public understanding. By shaping public perceptions, they also shape policy. Which is basically saying, listen, the guy, the person that you're quoting might even have a good point, but do you really want to enforce bigotry? That is something no journalist should be asking. That is absolutely not what you should be asking if you're a journalist. You should be saying, does this quote add to the article and present information in an objectively true fashion that informs my readership? That's the question, and the only question you should be asking. But anyway, as you can see there, this would later be part of a little drama, and this is why I said you might have heard of Parker Malloy, because she actually got into it with Joe Rogan. And this was over the Fallon Fox controversy. Now, Fallon Fox, again, is certainly not by any stretch of the imagination a sort of typical situation of trans athletes in sports. But Fallon Fox, for me, is a very problematic one because it exists in the most violent sport that we have, and has the potential, therefore, to do the most harm. I do not know what the kind of negotiation process is here, because people have said, well, if a woman elects to get into a ring with Fallon Fox and signs away consent to do that, then that's fine. But then how can you have somebody climb a divisional rank where they may have to compete with somebody for a belt, or maybe will be denied of that if that person didn't want to consent to it? It creates a whole new separate issue. But anyway, she ended up picking a fight with Joe Rogan, basically calling him a transphobe, because he said he didn't like the idea of Fallon Fox fighting in the women's division. Now, she said in an article she wrote, Rogan's assertions about bone density, being built different, and so on, have no basis in science. You read that right. The fact that we are, and we all know we are, a diamorphic species, and there is no getting away from that, and I say that as a man who stands with trans people and stands with trans rights, but we still have to accept that, yes, even with the hormones and everything else, on a biological level, there's going to be some things that are different. Negligible. Does it really matter? Do we have to get so hung up on it? Questions that we will not even think about as we evolve as a society. But for now, we do get mired in these debates. But to say that there is no basis in science is one of the most absurd stances that you could possibly take on this topic, right? Rogan's assertions about bone density being built different and so on have no basis in science. As medical professionals have stated, hormone replacement therapy has a way of adjusting bone density, muscle mass, and eroding other advantages trans athletes may have. Sadly, the world seems far more interested to hear what a washed-up stand-up comedian has to say than actual medical professionals or sports governing bodies like the IOC and NCAA that have studied these issues. So Joe Rogan replies, we'll blow up his tweets for you, because you don't need to see the rest of the article in The Guardian. Joe Rogan replied, and because he's a classy guy, he didn't get upset that she called him a washed-up stand-up comedian, which of course isn't actually true at all, but whatever. You can see here, Parker Malloy and Vice Sports, unbiased science completely refutes what you've said about bone density and advantages, and he links to a article from an endocrinologist that says, Dr. Ramona Krutzik, who says, yes, there will be some advantages, and especially in Fallon Fox's case, because of the nature of the distance and time between transitioning. And then he would later tweet out, please don't insult Parker if you're doing it. Because she was complaining again. Oh, I'm a victim. I've called him a washed-up comedian in an article and said he's transphobic. He's replied and said, this is the science. And now people are saying, I'm bad, so I'm the victim in all of this. And he actually tweeted out saying, don't be rude to Parker, please, because he's just a nice guy like that. That's who Joe Rogan is. He's not really into all of this, the theatrics and abuse. But anyway, all of that, by the way, is just idiocy. And idiocy's idiocy. Let's just talk a little bit about the trans activist Parker Malloy, because I think you'll find that, yes, she said some silly things. I'm a big proponent of you should be entitled to be wrong on the internet. Yes, it's crazy, isn't it? You should be allowed to be wrong on the internet. You should be allowed to have bad takes. You should be allowed to have an opinion that differs from the norm and not get absolutely blasted into oblivion because of it, because that's how we used to live back in simpler times. And actually, if you like, if you want to call them bad opinions or wrong opinions, however you want to frame it, they're necessary for discourse. So, but unfortunately, like a lot of people, she has a past, which is not so fucking great. This is on QWERTY, which is a publication. Have I got to actually put a fucking fake email in here? Excellent. So, get those Twitch Primes in the motherfucking chat, you motherfucker. Anyway, park that attitude. The danger of trans activist Parker Malloy. Articles I'll enjoy. It knows me well. It's articles I'll enjoy. Park that attitude. The danger of trans activist Parker Malloy. This is a story where basically she got into an argument This is back when she was teeing off on RuPaul, because RuPaul, a very famous crossdresser, not trans, sort of made some throwaway glib comments about trans people, right? So somebody was, a trans person was arguing with her, and you can see here what she had to say. I can't hold a candle to any of the three of you, but I hope to be able to improve someday. I mean it. I get that. You're blowing over right now, but can you shut the fuck up about your little opinions about whether writers deserve to be able to make a living? Okay, thanks. You don't know what you're talking about. Shut the fuck up, you stupid cunt. Shut up. Stop offering your opinion on something you're fucking clueless on. I imagine it says, if you're a journalist to make money and not change the world, well, if you're assigned, you're being paid to again. So what's your issue? Parker, I'm asking you to please not. Freelancing, you asshole. Cut yourself. Be gone. Leave me alone. Drink bleach. Go devote more time on your fucked up obsession with a few mean lesbians. So just putting this out there. I mean, you know, for such a good person that like has done so much good work, supposedly, as a trans advocate, the idea of telling a trans person to kill themselves should be horrifying to anybody, given the fact that we all know there is a higher instance of suicide among trans people, and completely inexcusable, and also just shows that this isn't a stable or rational person. Funnily enough as well, I think I had another article. Was it this one? Yeah, here it is. She, in the end, after that kind of after that drama kind of broke, she had to retire from her resign from her position, and you can see here, Parker Malloy resigns from advocate, lashes out at former colleagues on the way out, and you can see here, she started insulting all of her, you know, co-workers and everything else, you know, calling out employees, blah, blah, blah. She also had like this mad hissy fit because she didn't make a list of 100 most influential trans advocates or something. And she was like, I definitely deserve to be on this list. She is just a spiteful, mean, not incredibly bright, not incredibly talented person, unfortunately. And honestly, it sort of does get worse because there were some serious allegations made by other trans people, where she was accused of publicly on Twitter, accused of, how should we say, some less than savory activity. So let me just see actually if I've got the tweet. Yeah, they're here. And you can go look into this yourself. I won't say too much about it because obviously innocent until proven guilty must apply to everybody, even our ideological opponents or even people that haven't been very nice to us. But this was publicly tweeted out, a bunch of allegations. They weren't just made in isolation. It was picked up and reported on as well. And you can see here exactly what this account had to say about it. So just saying, when people like this fucking tag me, call me a dumbass, call me a bad person, say I'm like going into fucking performative outrage or whatever else, it's like, trust me, Parker Malloy, and this is where it gets really bad, because now I'm going to get to Hutch, all right? And this is like, he cited, I wouldn't even have seen Parker Malloy. I wouldn't even have seen Parker Malloy. But Hutch tagged her as if she was some kind of authority on journalistic standards and practice, when first of all, she definitely isn't. She's a hack fraud. And second of all, she is, she is a Media Matters journalist. So very strange that anybody would do that. But anyway, let me get to what Hutch did. So here we go. I'll give you the exchange. We can all look at the exchange. For those who don't know, Hutch is a famous Call of Duty videographer. I think he won Esports Videographer of the Year in 2017, I think it was. Not too sure. But anyway, he's also known for his relationship with Optic. Oh, is that Hitch? Sorry, that's Hitch. Sorry, not Hutch. My bad. Hutch is the Machinima guy. My bad. Don't get it wrong. I didn't get it wrong. I backed out. Hutch and Hitch. My bad. So Hutch used to be... Didn't Hutch used to be a Machinima guy, though? Didn't he used to make videos in like back in the day? And I thought Hutch was in Optic temporarily. Yeah. Okay, good. We are talking about the same person. I just transposed him onto Hitch winning Videographer of the Year. But yeah, you're right. That was Hitch, not Hutch. Hard to keep up. Starsky and Hitch. Anyway, point is, he used to be a Machinima guy. He used to make Call of Duty content. He's good friends with Hector. So it's never easy to, kind of get in arguments with this dude. But what I noticed was he was somebody that's kind of gone off the deep end a little bit. In fact, actually, just before we go over our exchange, I do want to show you something that I think will make you cringe a little bit. But hopefully you will understand that this is why... hopefully you'll understand why I can't take him seriously, which is important. So... a new series of videos I'm going to be doing is going to be called Resistance Incorporated. I've been working on them and scripting them. And basically, for those who don't know, Resistance Incorporated is going to be about all of the people that suddenly decided to present themselves as being politically astute, politically informed, when in actual fact, what they realized was that people who are anti-Trump are part of a fandom, and that, like all fandoms, it can be exploited if you pander to them. And there are lots of people who are not fit to have an opinion, honestly, about politics in any way, shape, or form. And they've played it up for money. You know, the Krasensteins, people like this. And I'm going to do a series of videos, and it's going to be called Resistance Incorporated. So watch out for that. But here's why. Like, you just have to understand where Hutch is at, right? Welcome to the resistance, Trey Gowdy. Like, come on, my man. Welcome to the resistance. Like, well, you're personally in the resistance, and you get to personally welcome political figures. And it's like, I think round about that point, I unfollowed him. I can't remember. Because it's just like, dude, you're in too deep. You're in too deep at this point. First of all, as well, I do have to say this about Americans. It fucking annoys me, frankly. Because as I've talked about many, many times, I hate the way that American cultural sensibilities have become the supposed global cultural sensibility. I hate that. And I also hate the way that Americans are very flippant about moments in history that are actually very important and significant to non-Americans. In particular, your bastardization and watering down of the resistance terminology is an insult to the French people who died, resisting in World War II. It is a monstrous insult to them. What are you really doing? You're not resisting at all. You're not resisting at all. You're on Twitter tweeting Orange Man Bad 24/7. You're not resisting shit. You're doing this for attention, right? The French resistance, was such a vital part in stopping some horrific things, organizing Jews getting out of occupied countries, obviously interfering with Nazi intelligence. And you Americans that are like, just literally, you wear a pussy hat and you fucking say Orange Man Bad and you think you're resisting. It's like, you wouldn't say that. You came in at the tail end of World War II. We're very grateful to have you. Couldn't have won without you. But it remains a European conflict. And I get to say that as a British person because we stood alone for 3 fucking years while the world watched. So yeah, I do get to talk about it because anybody that's actually educated in that matter wouldn't be so flippant about these things. So anyway... welcome to the resistance. And obviously, listen, I'm not saying all Americans. But you know what I'm talking about when I say Americans. I'm talking about this. I'm talking about Twitter, which was reestablished earlier on in the show. Not the real world. It's okay. It's all good. I don't mean, if it doesn't describe you, don't get upset. Because it can't be about you. But too many Americans have watered down this topic and said it's an insult to the dead. It's an insult to the war heroes across Europe that were part of a resistance against a genuine existential threat to everybody's freedoms and way of life. Donald Trump is not that, no matter how much you want to LARP and pretend that it is. And this is why I immediately disengage from anybody that says things like this, because they are living in a fantasy where they are a brave hero, but the stakes are low. They get all of the feel-good dopamine of being a hero, but they risk nothing. They sit in a chair, they tweet all day, and they think that they're resisting or doing something good and standing up to the fash or whatever fantasy they need to be fulfilled. But they risk nothing in their comfortable first world lives. That I cannot respect that, by the way. Anyway. So thank you, King of Cooper. I love you too, King of Cooper. This is a nice little spam we've got going on. So let's get back to our exchange, because, you know, he waded in and cited Parker Malloy, who we've established as a joke, as a definitive journalistic authority with a classic, my dude. Very good. And that was what I just showed you. And I said, ah, yes, Parker Malloy, a definitive authority on all style guidelines. Now go look up how that style guideline wasn't used for this tweet. And what you will see is I have included a tweet from everyone's favorite politician, Hillary Clinton. I'll show you the tweet up close. This is, again, it's, you know, this was when that embarrassing letter came out with Donald Trump, when he released it, when he messaged Erdogan about the situation in Syria. So Hillary Clinton put out a fake letter on White House headed paper, that's important, from October 16th, 1962, and it is a fake letter from John Fitzgerald Kennedy to Premier Khrushchev of Russia. Now, I'll read it to you. You will see that when people say the left can't mean, they really mean the people who are still with her definitely can't. And she definitely can't. Dear Premier Khrushchev, don't be a dick, okay? Get your missiles out of Cuba. Everybody will say, yay, Khrushchev, you're the best. But if you don't, everybody will be like, what an asshole, and call your garbage country the Soviet Bunyan. You're really busting my nuts here. Give you a jingle later. Hugs, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Yeah, I know, it's cringe, right? So, Let's just do a thought exercise. If Donald Trump had tweeted out a fake letter from the archives of the White House on paper headed from the White House with a fake signature of JFK at the bottom and a specific date that relates to the Cuban missile crisis, what do you think the media would say? Do you think they might use the word doctored? I think they would. I think they absolutely would. Because, as I've said, they don't want to just use the word fake or altered or edited or photoshopped, because there isn't a sinister connotation. So I made this point to our brave resistant super soldier, Hutch, because he's a brave, very brave resistant super soldier, and therefore must be intelligent. And I said, don't waste any more of your time tweeting at me, because your timeline shows me exactly where your head is at. So he said, swing and a miss. And let's have a look. He got all these screenshots. Hillary Clinton mocks Donald Trump with faked JFK letter. Clinton trolls Trump with mock letter from JFK to Khrushchev. Hillary Clinton mocks Trump's note to Erdogan with fake JFK letter to Khrushchev. Don't be a dick, okay? Hillary Clinton tweets parody of Trump-Erdogan letter. That's another good word that should have probably been used at some point, right? Parody. Khrushchev, you're the best. Clinton mocks Trump with fake JFK letter. The Soviet Bunyan. Hillary Clinton trolls Trump with fake JFK letter. Hillary Clinton mocks Trump's letter to Erdogan with parody JFK note. Hillary Clinton mocks Trump with fake tough guy letter between JFK and Khrushchev. Right? Clinton mocks Trump's turkey letter with Jimmy Kimmel joke. Hillary Clinton mocks Trump with parody letter from JFK. Hillary Clinton mocks Trump's letter to Turkey with spoof. Spoof's another good one. JFK note, don't be a dick, okay? Mocking Trump, Hillary posts parody letter, The Times of Israel. Now, there's a word missing. Have you noticed it? Have you noticed how not one person, despite Parker Malloy and her great insight into style guides of publications across the world, the word doctored was not used once, either in the body of the article or the headlines of the article. That seems kind of strange, given that the whole argument is, from Parker Malloy, if something is edited, and it's clearly edited, and we know it's a joke, we use the word doctored. But it's weird, isn't it? We decided with, I'm still with her, she has yet to reveal herself. She'll be involved in the election in some capacity, guys. Don't worry about that. That's why nobody calls her out for calling fucking Tulsi a Russian asset. By the way, isn't calling somebody a Russian asset who's standing for election, in an election, during an election, isn't that altering the outcome of an election based on a lie, which you spent 3 years railing against, you fucking hypocritical crone? But don't worry about it, guys. Back to bed. Back to fucking sleep. Nothing to see here. Anyway, so the guy proves my argument for me. Cool. Where's the word doctored? Nowhere to be found, because the image was faked, not doctored, which is why you saw fake in every headline. And then he links the dictionary definition of the word doctor, which says, change the content or appearance of a document or picture in order to deceive, falsify. So again, the question must become, my brave resistant super soldier, who clearly is thinking intelligently and rationally and logically, which part of Trump's tweet was intended to deceive, or in which way was it falsified? In which way was the picture intended to deceive somebody via falsification? So, you've not just proved me right once, you've proved me right twice. In this, that headline is completely inappropriate in the space of two tweets. I said, keep resisting, brave soldier, you're really owning the drumpf. I think he said a few other things. I didn't stick around because he went away and later argued he was right and that there is no bias and there's nothing to worry about here. And in fact, I even tweeted at him again a little bit later on. Let me find it for you. Because this is another example of how they deliberately avoided using the word doctored. Because you cannot imply Hillary Clinton does anything sinister. 54 friends have committed suicide. that's a joke. You cannot say Hillary Clinton's done anything sinister in the mainstream press, or you are out of the DNC machinery forever. So look, here was another one. What about this one from the WAPO? This was where Hillary Clinton, seated at a mock Resolute desk, reads her once controversial emails at a Venice art exhibit. Hillary Clinton took to Twitter on Thursday to share a surreal photo. As surreal as superimposing your head on Rocky Balboa's body? Perhaps. Let's read on. It showed her seated at a mock Resolute desk, reading emails she sent from a private server that became a target of congressional Republicans and President Trump. The photo captured her visit 2 days earlier at an art exhibition called Hillary, the Hillary Clinton Emails. Found my emails at the Venice Biennale. Someone alert the House GOP. Clinton, the 2016 Democratic presidential nominee, wrote in her tweet. And there she is, in a photograph, sat at a fake desk with fake emails, mocking the fact that she inarguably violated national security. And the press are just like, well, that's bizarre. That's bizarre. That's strange. That's surreal. But don't worry, guys. There is nothing wrong with the media. They're not biased. They're not. You're imagining things. I am a right-wing ideologue. I'm lying to you, obviously. That's what's really going on. It's the simplest answer. It couldn't be that we can keep pointing to these examples because actually the narrative is correct in this instance. No, I'm lying to you guys. Oh yeah, definitely clip that as well. Put that when I'm dead, fucking play that at my funeral. Anyway. So that was Hutch, brave resistor. Listen, I think when you've rode on someone's coattails pretty much for your entire life, you know, I understand that, you know, you're probably a little bit insecure and you need to be part of something. It's fine. I get it. I did try to explain I don't care about any of his opinions. He was like, he dropped the fucking, if you're not going to debate me, bro, like, I don't want to debate you. You're fucking delusional. Like, there's no, and then this guy came in with a bunch of fucking examples that were all the WAPO saying, hey, Dean Kane doctored a photo, Trump doctored a photo, the right-wing guy doctored a photo, and the only thing we could agree on is that they did say the Slenderman photo was doctored, but it kind of was, because if you remember how the Slenderman meme started, it was people trying to fool people into thinking it was real. So it was created with an intent to deceive, meaning the word doctored is appropriate, and absolutely not the same as Donald Trump putting his head on Rocky Balboa's body. So just fucking saying, right? So that happened. That was a thing. I think, is that everything? Do we get to wrap that up? Is that the segment? No, it's not the segment because I get to segue into, there was a bit of just desserts with this. Let me show you another example of the media. And how they operate. Thanksgiving. I had a great Thanksgiving, by the way. Hope you all did too. As I said right at the start of the stream, I gorged myself on food. I undid all the good work. I was down to the lightest I'd been probably since I moved to America. I was in like the 230s again. It ain't great now, ain't gonna lie. But whatever, it's fine. We just work it off. We just drink the piss and we stick to whiskey. And we just do everything, right? So, Thanksgiving, right? I had a great Thanksgiving, me. I like Thanksgiving. I like being in America. I like living in America. I love this country. I love its traditions. I love the fact that right in the middle of November, there's this, like, moment just where you sit down, you have your family, you got to be thankful. Now, I was going to do a segment, right, about all of the publications, all of the shit press, putting out all of that. This is how you avoid arguments. In an era of Trump during Thanksgiving, when in reality, the average family doesn't have any problems with that at all. The Twitterati definitely do, but that's because they're fucked in the head. Most of us, we just don't talk politics at the dinner table because it's rude, isn't it? So, here's something that happened, and you might have missed it. If ever you were in any doubt about how journalists operate, how in many instances they don't just publish falsehoods, they pre-write falsehoods and then publish them without even giving a second thought to whether or not they should check it. Look no further than what happened to Newsweek journalist Jessica Kang. This was the article she published here. How is Trump spending Thanksgiving? Well, how is he spending Thanksgiving, Jessica? You're a verified journalist, so you would absolutely know, right? You're a verified journalist. Newsweek's Washington correspondent, no less. So you must have sources, you must know. How is Trump spending Thanksgiving? Tweeting, golfing, and more. Now you're going to notice how the links change down below. You're going to go, wait a minute. That doesn't say that, because what she did, she published an article that claimed Donald Trump was doing nothing on Thanksgiving except going to his golf course at one of his resorts and tweeting things out to antagonize people, because that's Trump. She wrote that article, filed that article, published that article, and this is how we know it was pre-written. Because what had actually happened was Donald Trump had decided he would take a secret meeting with the troops in Afghanistan, people who were out there serving the American country, and therefore can't be with their families during Thanksgiving. Donald Trump, the absolute monster, decided to spend his Thanksgiving in Afghanistan. And there's proof of it. Trump's Thanksgiving Afghanistan trip was kept under wraps amid extreme security. And he got into Air Force One and flew out in the small hours and was given a resounding round of applause from the troops. They were all super happy to see him. It all went incredibly well. They had a massive Thanksgiving dinner for all of the troops, sharing stories, shaking hands, all of that stuff. But this was planned. They flew out in the small hours. And that article was published after they were already en route to Afghanistan. So you know what happened? Jessica fucking Kwong made it all up. She made it all up. It was a complete lie from start to fucking finish, devoid of any research, devoid of any facts. It was a pre-written hit piece to make you think Donald Trump was a piece of shit because that's what we write, because that's what gets clicks. She then thought, right, despite her article being wrong, inarguably, not a single factual component to it, she then tweeted out saying, "Trump headed to Afghanistan to surprise US troops on Thanksgiving. I'm deleting this tweet," the one she screenshotted there, "because it was written before knowing about the president's surprise visit to Afghanistan. An honest mistake." How can that in any way be an honest mistake? Can anybody explain it to me? Can anybody explain how this is an honest mistake? You pre-wrote an article without doing any basic fact-checking, got your editor to run it, approved, saying it was completely true, claiming Donald Trump was on a golf course when he was in Air Force One flying to Afghanistan. He couldn't have been further away, unless he's got a golf course on Air Force One, and he does like his golf. There is absolutely no way that that could have been true. Now the beauty of it is, needless to say, she got wrecked. The ratio was incredible. I think someone took a screenshot of it. It was ridiculous. It was like 12,000 replies to like 100 retweets. It was insane. One of the worst ratios I've ever seen. And then, guys, it gives me a little bit of faith. Not really, because Newsweek's a terrible publication. Occasionally has flashes where you go, "Oh yeah, you used to be good, didn't you?" Right? There is a happy ending at long fucking last. This came out according to the Washington Examiner today, and it put a fucking smile on my face, ear to ear. Newsweek fires reporter who wrote inaccurate story on Trump's Thanksgiving Day plans. And listen, I saw people on Twitter saying, "Oh God, it's so cruel to revel in a young woman being fired just before Christmas." No, fuck you. Enjoy the breadline, you fucking hack. Fuck you for playing fast and loose with journalistic ethics and integrity and tarring us all with the fucking brush of your tawdry, biased filth that you push out under flag of being truth and objective reality. Fuck you. I hope you never work again. This has to be the way it operates because we don't have any oversight right now. This must be the first time a journalist has published a provable lie in 2019 and there's actually been real consequences, because the CNN guys that published that false Russia story about Manafort or whoever the fuck it was, no, Scaramucci, my bad, they got fired, but they got hired 4 months later. So that doesn't count. Oh, 4 months. You probably got fucking severance on the way out the door. Anyway, I'll just read you what Newsweek's statement was. Newsweek investigated the failures that led to the publication of the inaccurate report that President Trump spent Thanksgiving tweeting and golfing rather than visiting troops in Afghanistan, a Newsweek representative told the Washington Examiner. The story has been corrected and the journalist responsible has been terminated. We will continue to review our process and, if required, take further action. You know what review the process means, by the way, these publications? They pull all the journalists into the newsroom and the editor comes out and goes, listen, guys, we've got to be much more clever about the lies that we're going to tell. You've got to be so much cleverer than that. That was too easy to disprove. That's what that means. Oh, and a good point there, Hertzie, you. The editor, zero action. The editor scrambling for the bottle of whiskey in the bottom drawer, starting a drink earlier and earlier in the day, mixing in Pepto-Bismol into the liquor, making this purple bloom that looks like the ulcer spewing bile and poison into his body, because he knows deep down in his heart of hearts he is not just a shill and not just evil and putting garbage into the world and making it a worse place. He also knows that in 5 years, he will not be able to make a living doing it anymore because the paradigm will have permanently shifted. He looks up from his desk and says,
what have you got for me today, Jessica?
And he publishes the garbage, and he publishes the lies, and he publishes the filth. And he gets to ride again when it's all wrong, without even doing a simple check.
Yeah, just run it, just run it, just run it. Plink, plink, fizz.
Why aren't those people on the fucking bread line? Clown shoes. But there you go. Something, a bit of Thanksgiving cheer. Jessica Kwong is gone. Crab's out. Enjoy.